Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think that y'all say you can do this, you can't dress, and you can't do certain things.
You don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. This salvation in Acts 2:38 is not a must. I mean, it's not a maybe. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another place building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are just so delighted that we are joining you for another episode of Kingdom of God Ministries. We have been away for a while. We've been helping a brother and sister out, Deliverance Temple of Faith. They are located in Canton, Georgia, and we've been helping them out. You know, we will continue to help them, but their new facility will be at 9550 Bells Ferry Road. It's Deliverance Temple of Faith. This is a spirit-filled, gospel that they teach the Word of God, and we just want to put a shout-out to our brother and sister Gina Lloyd and brother Garrett Lloyd. So those of you that is in the Canton area or plan to be visiting the Canton area, feel free to check us out. We will have our services on Sunday. And like I said, the address is 9550 Bells Ferry Road, Canton, Georgia. God is doing great things. We have seen miracles, people being set free, deliverance, financial blessings. I mean, the list goes on and on. And God is continually blessing. So if you want a blessing, you need to be there. If you want some deliverance, you need to be there. Amen? So tonight we're going to open up with prayer, and we will go directly into the Word of God. We will be teaching tonight on the great falling away. And I just want to say to some of our listening audience, I know it's been a couple of months since we came to you live, but we have so many archives that you could still hear and listen to the teaching of God. So this is why we set it up this way, because sometimes we may be out of town. We may be doing other things for the kingdom, but you could still listen to the archives that we have set up. Amen? Father God, we just want to thank you tonight. We thank you for your many blessings. Lord God, we just thank you for entering into your presence on tonight. Lord God, you are worthy of our praise, and we give you honor and glory. We thank you, Lord God, that you gave us this platform. And, Lord, we ask that as we go out through the airwaves, that you touch, heal, deliver, set free. Lord, we thank you that those that are listening to our voice are listening because they want more. They want truth. They're tired of the watered-down things that's going on in the body of Christ. So they come and they're seeking, Lord. So, Lord God, we ask that you fill their cups tonight. Fill them until they run over, Lord God. And let them take this that they receive and go back out and help others. Lord God, we thank you that for my husband, thank you for my children. We thank you that you have raised us up in the ministry. And Lord God, we will do what you called us to do until you return. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, as I said, we will be teaching on the great falling away. And I'm coming to you out of Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3. It says, now we beseech ye, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, listen to this, except there come a falling away first. And I'm going to bring out the falling away. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Look at that pride there. Attributes of Satan, full of pride. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3, people fall away because they do not have the love, L-O-V, of the truth. This is why there's going to be a great falling away, because what Satan is doing, he's infiltrating the church with so much false deception, so much false doctrine. Now he's incorporating, he's kind of intertwining Christianity or Christendom with idolatry and occult practices. So those that don't really know, quote, the word or the love of truth, consequently, they have nothing to pour out of their energies, and so they drift away. So if you don't have anything that you've taken in, which is the word of God, with all this false deception that is going forth today, you'll find yourself drifting away. They have nothing. They say they poured out their energy, so they drift away. Anybody who is drifting, listen to this, will follow the current opinion within the body, whatever it happens to be. So you're drifting. You don't have any word. You don't know the word. You're going to go, like he said over in James, with every wind of doctrine. If it sounds good, you'll find yourself vacillating over there. Or if over here it sounds good, I'm going to go over here. Because you have no root. You have nothing of the word. You don't have enough word in you to sustain you. The Apostle Paul prophesies of an apostasy. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3, 9 and 12, he prefaces it with a warning. He gives you a warning against being deceived. The great apostasy may already be fully underway. Now, this is what he was saying. This was in 51 A.D. Now, if it was back 51 A.D., think, let's fast forward 2,000 years to the present age. So you can see down through the centuries, if he was warning you then, this was just 51 years after Jesus had died and been raised from the dead. Think of all the deception that has crept in the church since that time up until now. Daniel 12 and 4, he said, along with so many ways to the devil, this is what he does. He said, the great apostasy may already be fully underway then, spurred by the rising tide of deception in society. With so much information available, Daniel 12, 4, along with so many ways to manipulate it, or men, find it extremely easy to deceive millions instantly. How do we deceive a lot of people instantly? By way of TV. A lot of stuff you see on TV, whether it's religious, political, there's a lot of deception. You need to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God, or you will be drifting away or carried away by every wind and doctrine. Let's see what Daniel 4 says. Daniel 12 and 4 says, and I'll read it out of the King James. It says, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. What did I say? Run into every wind and doctrine. And knowledge shall increase. You see what I'm saying? So they're running to and fro to get knowledge, but is it the godly knowledge that they need? This is especially true for, I'm going on, those who do not really believe the true source of knowledge, God and his word. Did you hear what I said? So when you don't have the word of God in you, how will you know the true word of God? Thus, after subtle doctrinal changes, many of the brethren have fallen away because you don't know the doctrine. You don't know what the word of God says. You're not being taught what the word of God says. You're getting tickled, watered-down sermons that have nothing to do with what God's word says. The coming of the lawless one, however, is still future. So don't get all twisted up on Barack Obama, who is the Antichrist. He has not been revealed yet. So I don't want you to get caught up in that, but we see the signs of that day approaching. God has given us signs or pointers that we can follow to know that we are in the end time. Now you may say, well, hey, Paul said this in A.D. 51. He was still talking about the apostasy. It's 2,000 years later. We haven't seen Christ return. We haven't seen the man of sin revealed. Let me say it to you this way. You may not see him revealed in your lifetime, but I can guarantee you this. You are closer to departing this life in your own life than you were 10 years ago. So whether you see the Antichrist in full display or whether God call you and take you away, you know it's going to happen in your life. Something is going to happen. You're going to leave here one day. So I don't want you to get caught up with when will the Antichrist be revealed. And, you know, people make hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars on who they think the Antichrist is. So they'll pick out somebody who you may not like, and they'll put a tag on him, this the Antichrist. But, honey, we got specific signs that this man of perdition is going to display that, truthfully, I haven't seen it in nobody that they say was the Antichrist. Number one, I don't see the signs. I don't see the miracles. I don't see the great, him speaking to the beast and resurrecting this beast like Revelation says. So I haven't seen that stuff. So don't get caught up on who you think the Antichrist is. Get more concerned about your own relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's go on. The coming of the lawless one, however, is still future. His rise to prominence and power will be accompanied by incredible, what did I say, miracles. But they will be false signs and wonders, lies produced by Satan to appear as if they are of God. So we need to be careful about everybody that comes to town with a healing, quote, ministry or deliverance ministry. Be careful. Be careful about running from place to place trying to get a word, trying to get a prophetic word. Because, number one, you need to know who is laboring in the body of Christ. A lot of these young men and women that have these prophetic tags placed on them, they need to sit somewhere and be taught themselves. You see what I'm saying? So don't be so quick to, I want a word. Why don't you fall on your face? God will give you a word. God will give you some wisdom. Stop seeking after signs all the time. Stop running from place to place trying to get a miracle. All you need to do is ask God. We had a young brother the other day. He was going through some financial difficulties. We prayed with the brother. It was within 2 weeks he get this phenomenal manifestation, a blessing. But he said, Lord, you know my situation. He didn't have to go all over town to get Reverend so-and-so to lay hands on him. He just prayed, and he received it, and God did it. Okay? He will use all unrighteous deception. Talking about this Satan. A hint that what he does and says, he will appear as righteous. Yet someone who knows and loves the truth can see through it and avoid being deceived. You see what I'm saying? When you know the word, don't be so easily caught up in a lot of foolishness that I see going on in the body of Christ today. You'll call it out for what it is. You'll call it out to be a lie. Because, see, Satan is so tricked, so deceived. He's deceived people. He can intertwine truth and mix it with a lie. And if you don't know the word, you'll be sitting there believing it. He will use all unrighteous deception. Okay, Satan will really pull out the stops to deceive as many as possible, especially the called sons of God. The lawless one will be so slick that all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names, listen to what I'm saying, have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. We better check ourselves and make sure, ask God, Lord, I want my name written in the Lamb's book of life. But the way it's going to be written in there is when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you follow Jesus and his doctrine, not being swayed by idol worship and occult practices that has crept in the body. But as Paul writes elsewhere, if we hold fast to the pattern of sound words, like what I said, that we learn, if we guard the truth, we will not be deceived. You won't be deceived because the Holy Spirit in you will give you, it's like a radar. And when you send in some of these means and something go off that you know is not of God, guess what? That Holy Spirit, that radar go off. Warning, something ain't right. That ain't right. That's not what the scripture said. We have to search the scripture. We have to check the scripture. We have to check even what I'm saying. Check it with the word of God. He said, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or epistle. The key to resisting deception is being convicted of the truth. The truth is what was first revealed to the apostles. As Jude puts it, contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. That's Jude 3. As they saw the first century apostasy coming, all the apostles warned about deceivers and urged the brethren to be certain of and stick to doctrines of God, not doctrines of men. He said doctrines of God. It is our surest hedge against being caught up in deceptions at the end time that are already upon us. Let's talk about apostasy. Apostasy, the falling away. It is not necessarily a departure from an organized body, but a departure from truth. It points to a deliberate abandonment of former professed positions or beliefs. You can see the apostasy going forth all in the church today. Let me just give you a few things. They're teaching a lot of idol worship, a lot of occult practices. They're talking now about astral projection in the church, transcendental meditation in the church, spirit guides in the church, yoga in the church. They do mantras in the church, Eastern mysticism in the church. Now you tell me if that is nothing other than apostasy. They're taking you away from the doctrine of Jesus Christ and incorporating a lot of idol worship, occult practices, and the church is sitting up there accepting this garbage as if it was the doctrine of our Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The devil is a lie. But the only way you can identify this is through the Word of God. And like I said earlier, if you don't have the Word of God in you, you're going to fall away. You will be deceived. They're using all kinds of practices nowadays. Money blessings. They claim that they could command angels to go and bring them money. And it's just a lot of foolishness going on. Church, we need to wake up. Apostasy. This is what did Paul mean by falling away in the end times? Why would people follow great religious leaders doing what many call the great falling away or the great apostasy? Those interested in signs at the end times often take note of warnings given by Paul to the Thessalonians, speaking about the return of Jesus Christ to earth. He writes, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for the day will not come unless the falling away comes first." So you see what I'm saying? There has to be the delusion to get the people so watered down that's when the Antichrist will take his position in the end times. But he got to get you watered down. He got to get you pulled away from the doctrine of the true doctrine so he can infiltrate the church with the false doctrine. You see what I'm saying? Because if everybody was on their P's and Q's and was, you know, had the Word of God in them with the sword of the Spirit and they're girded up, then they would be on the attack against the enemy. But that's how he's watering down the scriptures now, so he could get you in a dumbed-down state so he can infill the church with his doctrine, with his lies, with his falseness. And the church, sadly, is taking it hook, line, and sinker because a lot of them, these new converts, they don't know the Word of God. A lot of these preachers is not teaching them the true unadulterated Word. Christ that it will involve the revealing of the man of sin, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is God, all that is called God, or that is worshiped. So that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, 2 Thessalonians 2:3-4. Some man is going to style himself as greater than God, pretending to be God, and people will believe him. Why? Because the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, this is what the Bible says, God will send them strong delusions that they should believe the lie. So because you didn't receive the unadulterated word of God, God said he's going to turn you over so you will to strong delusions because you spewed up when the man and woman of God or the preachers and the teachers is teaching you truth. He said you have engineers, so you're going to gravitate and you're going to go to someone teaching you something that you want to hear. You're going to go to the church that tell you it's okay to fornicate and it's okay to smoke a little pot. You know, they got one church, he even smoked his joint and said, you know, this is how you get, this is the ultimate high of the Holy Spirit. Rather than receive the true gospel, a lot of Christians is vacillating and going to places that tickles their ear because they don't want to hear sound doctrine. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear how you can live holy and be ye separated. They don't want to hear that. They want you to tickle my ear. Tell me, give me some money blessings. Tell me how I can be prosperous. But I don't want you to talk about sin. You just tell me how I can reap the benefits. But see, you got to have a balance. Yeah, we're going to tell you how God can bless you, but we also will tell you things that's going to separate you from the kingdom of God. I'm not going to just always tell you sweet things without telling you the consequences of sin. You see? So to be careful, so we won't allow this apostasy to creep in the church. The men and women of God in the early centuries, 51 A.D., Paul and the disciples, they stood up against this. A lot of them were killed because they taught against the apostasy that they saw creeping into the body of Christ. They warned the Christians. This is what's happening. And today we have men and women of God standing up telling you this is going on in the church. Some of them is being persecuted. Some of them are being killed. Some of them are being thrown into prison. Because Satan do not want you to reveal who he is or what his plan is. We need your help. We need your help. When we get on these radio blog talks, and we have churches, and we need you. We need your support. Because you only have a handful of preachers nowadays that's teaching the unadulterated word of God. Cut the TV on. You think that I'm losing? Just cut on the TV, whether it's on supposed to be, quote, Christian TV or secular TV. All you see is pervertedness. TV is putting their agenda out there. Television is putting that agenda out there, pulling you further away from the things of God. So you used to be found, I guess, stern in your belief, but now you have reservation. Well, is it really? Did the Bible really say it was? Was it a sin to shag before marriage? I don't really see that in the Bible. Or is homosexuality really, really wrong? I mean, we're supposed to love everybody, which we do, but see how the media is swaying your belief? Because now you begin to judge your own decision. Well, maybe I was wrong on that. You know, God, he loves everybody. So two men can love each other. It's nothing wrong with that. No, we didn't say it was nothing wrong with two men loving each other, but I did say it was wrong in the eyesight of God. You love who you love. But is it right in the eyesight of God? Is shacking before marriage or having sex before marriage, is that right in the eyesight of God? But the sad thing about it, you expect the world to do this, but it shouldn't be creeping in the church. But yet the church has accepted this as normal. So now you have pastors that say, yeah, if you homosexual, we'll marry you, you know. It's okay to fornicate. It's okay. You're just having fun, you know. But God said holiness without no man shall see God. Now, we're going to pray for the, whoever, you know, whatever your preference is, we'll pray for you. And I'm not going here to beat you down. But just like I had to humble myself and come to the throne of God and I had to let some things go, then you do too. Nowadays, Christians want their cake and eat it too. They want it both ways. So they want to say, I'm a Christian, but I still want to be able to do what I want to do. And it don't work like that. You're going to have to give up some things to follow him. Do you love your sin more than you love following Christ? And this is the very way this apostasy is creeping in the church, because people have fallen away from the true doctrine of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to conclude my study, and I'm going to turn this portion over. We only have 60 minutes, so I don't want to take up the whole platform. So at this time, I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Bobby. And you guys be blessed.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm sure that you enjoyed what Sister Montgomery was saying in reference to the great falling away. And I heard she was speaking on in reference to the apostate. And those false teachings that's going on in the land. But we're talking about the great falling away. And as you can see in these days and times, you can tell from just looking around that we are in the last days. Now I did hear Sister Montgomery say that, well, they've been saying that since the time of Christ. And they have been saying that. But I want you to remember something. They were saying the same thing at the time of Noah. They were saying, oh, they've been talking about that for the last 110 years. The time that Noah was building that ark. But on the 120th year, that water came down. And it fell. And it washed away everything on the earth. Well, why am I saying that? Because it's the same thing now. The scripture says, before the Antichrist or the beast and the false prophet and the false church, before any of that can happen, there has to be a great falling away first. In other words, a whole lot of people will have to fall away or go away from the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of the doctrine of the true and living God. I mean, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I mean, the doctrine of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as you can see, if you look around, that's what you're seeing now. Now, why must there be a great falling away? The reason there must be a great falling away, people, is because the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is resident where? In God's people. Where are God's people? God's people, the ecclesia or the church, the temple of God really is the individual believer or the Christian. That's the true temple. So, and the Spirit of God is resident in his people. So his people are the ones that should be, and the true people of God are the ones that's telling the great things of God and warning people of this Antichrist or this great false prophet or this false church that's coming on the land. They're the ones that's warning and sounding, heralding the coming of the Antichrist. They're the ones that's doing that. So if he popped up right now, the church would scream out, that's him. He's the one that fits what the scripture says. But he's not here now. But in order for him to be manifest, the Spirit of God can't be resident as he is now. In other words, the church as it is now can't be here, because the Spirit of God is what is holding or keeping him in chains or in prison. So he can't manifest himself now. He can't manifest himself now, because the Spirit of God is still moving on the earth. Now, some people might have some problems with that, but the only thing you have to do is go to the Word, go into the New Testament, the Old Testament, go into 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, go into 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, go into Romans, go into the Bible. Go into your New Testament. Read it for yourself. Don't go by what I'm saying. Go into the Word of God and read it for yourself, and you'll see it in there. Matter of fact, it's even in the Old Testament. You go into Daniel, you read books of Daniel, you go into some of the old prophets, some of the Old Testament, and you'll find that all in there. This is nothing new. But right now, we are at the door of this. We're at the door of this great falling away. And when I say great falling away, you're going to always have people in churches. You're going to have churches full. You're going to have churches with thousands of people in them. And then you're going to have small churches too. But what are they teaching? Are they teaching the unadulterated Word of God in its fullness? Or are they teaching basically what Sister Montgomery said earlier, what you want to hear? See, many times what you want to hear as far as the things of God is concerned, if you're hearing what you want to hear all the time, you might miss what you need. And what we all need is Christ Jesus. What we all need is God, regardless of what you might think. We need the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the same God that delivered the children of Israel out of Egyptian slavery and fed them and clothed them as they went through the wilderness. The same God that, I believe, shed his grace on this nation and caused this nation to be as great as it is. Now, that's what I believe. Now, somebody might not believe that, but I believe God did shed his grace on this nation, because if he had not, we would not be as great as we are. Because this nation did make some great errors in the past. But God is a great God of mercy and grace, and he shed it on this nation. But now, it's a little different. We see a great falling away in this nation in their belief systems, and the way they act, the way they talk, and in their everyday activities, we see it. We see it. How do we see it? Look at our school systems. You can do everything in the school these days except pray to God and Christ. You can do everything in the school system these days except read your Bible. You get in trouble if you read your Bible in class. You can read Harry Potter. You can read witchcraft books. You can read books on how to cast spells on people. You can do that. You can do all of that. But if you tell somebody about Christ in school, whereas our schools was founded on the reading of the Bible, that was a curriculum at one time in this country. I don't know why it does that. Yes. So you have to realize that when it says the great falling away, that's what's happening. But Jesus said that you would see signs of his coming. And that's what's happening right now, people of the Most High God. But what I want to do, I want to go into some things in reference to the great falling away and the great apostasy. Because Daniel said some things. I'm going to read some scriptures, and then I'm going to bring out some other things. We have a little time left. And we do have a call-in number at 323-375-0849. That's 323-375-0849. We have about 19 minutes left. If you have a desire to call in, you can, and we'll be more than happy to try to assist you as best as we can. But we have some scriptures here. I want to read this to you. Now, this is something that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was saying when the disciples asked him a question on when he will come back, or the great falling away is really dealing with the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and this is something that happens prior to that. Okay. I said, let no one deceive you by any means, for that they will not come unless the falling away or the apostasy comes first, And the man of sin, or the man of lawlessness, the beast, is revealed, the son of perdition, also the beast, or the son of destruction. Now, this particular person opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. That's 2 Thessalonians 2:3-4. So this is a particular individual that after the great falling away, it's going to be a whole lot of turmoil. He's going to come on the scene. He's going to try to fix. He's going to say he's going to fix everything, and he's going to have some success in that. But after he does what he says he's going to do, then he's going to claim himself as God of gods and Lord of lords, to the extent that he's going to go into the temple of God and declare himself to be God. And the Lord is going to take care of him accordingly. But, and then again, we have in Daniel 9:27, it says here, goes right back to the New Testament. The Old Testament is coinciding with the New. It says, he shall enter into or confirm a strong and firm covenant with many for 1 week or 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and offerings to cease. And on the wing or pinnacle of abomination shall come one who makes desolate until the full determined end is poured out on the desolator. So you see, we got some things that's getting ready to happen, people. And when we say these things, when we give these warnings, it's a warning for you to get in the right concept or get your heart right with God and the accepting of Jesus Christ as Savior, accepting God as your deliverer and your Savior. Now, I'm going to bring out some other things in reference to where we are right now. Now, after this great falling away, and that is where we are right now, I want to read, just bring out some things. Now, it says, the scripture says, and which I brought out in Daniel 9:27, he's gonna set up the abomination that makes desolate, which both Daniel and Jesus spoke of. He will then be revealed as a beast after he does this. At that time, he will be supreme dictator of the world. He's going to be a world leader. We're going to have a one-world government, a one-world currency, and a one-world religious center in which this apostate, this beast, this antichrist is going to be over. And it says, he will turn around and demand total commitment to himself. Now, before this happens, a lot of other things will happen. And I'm going to go into this right now. That midway through the last 7 years, this beast or antichrist, he's going to incorporate his economic system, which will be characterized or identified by three sixes, which is the mark of a man. The mark of the beast is really a mark of a man that's trying to act like he's a god. Now, this will be a worship based on some sort. It's going to be like a blood covenant. It's going to be like a blood covenant marking of the citizens who are affiliated with him. But I would like to say to everyone listening out there, when you obtain this covenant with this beast, you're going to be making a covenant with the devil that you can't get out of. It's a trap. It's a trick. It's a trick. It's a trick. And I'm telling you, you don't want to go that way. Don't take it. Now, it's not now, but it's coming. But I'm telling you now, don't take the mark. But if you take the mark, you might get the things that you want, but you're not getting the things that you need. And when you take that mark, it's going to be some horrible consequences after that almost immediately. I'm telling you. It's not worth it. There's nothing on earth worth being lost. There's nothing on earth worse than being separated from God for eternity. There's nothing on earth worse than being than taking that mark and being left behind and not ever being able to get into the kingdom of God. There's nothing worse than that. Everything is worth the kingdom of God. Whatever you go through in this life is worth being with Jesus. Whatever torment, whatever torture, whatever pain, whatever hurt you go through in this life, I'm telling you, people, it's worth heaven. It's worth being in the kingdom of God. It's worth being with Jesus Christ forever. Yeah. It's worth being in the presence of the Lord. Because the Lord told us that, hey, when we perish in the things of God, it says that God will wipe away every tear that we ever cried. The Bible tells us that He'll bottle up every tear. The Word of God tells us that we will be immortal. We will have a new body. We will be a new creation in Christ Jesus. It says, behold, old things, all that old stuff passed away, and because we have become new in Christ Jesus. That's worth it. No more pain, no more sorrow. No more destruction, none of that. So it behooves us to stay in the kingdom or stay in the things of God and don't take the mark of the beast. Now, they say many faithful Christians, when he does this, there's going to be some faithful Christians on the earth, and they're not going to accept what he's saying. He's not going to accept what he's talking about or what he's doing. And they're going to even give themselves, they're going to even give their lives not to be a participant in this great falling away, not to be a participant in this apostate society that's coming. They're not going to participate on that, in that. And as a result of that, some of them will perish. Some of them will escape. So God will make a way of escape for his people. Not all. And why do I say that? Because we have people right now that's being tormented from the things of God, that's being martyred for Christ Jesus, truly martyred. I say truly martyred because I don't consider a martyr somebody who's trying to kill somebody and he dies. I consider a martyr somebody who faithfully gives his life for what he believes in Christ Jesus, and they're not fighting back trying to kill people. They're yet forgiving people and praying for people and praying that the people that's even hurting them and killing them would turn to Christ and be saved. That's what I'm talking about. Now, in reference to what we're talking about, the great falling away, the apostasy, there's some intriguing evidence of this exile in Revelation 12, where the woman in travail is given the wings of a great eagle and taken to a place where she can be nurtured for 1,260 days, Revelation 12 and 6. This is also 3 to 5 biblical years, Revelation 12 and 14. You have to look at both scriptures. In the very same time span, 42 biblical months, given by John for both the trampling of Jerusalem by Gentile powers, Revelations 11 and 2, and for the rule of the beast, you see, Revelations 13, 5. The ministry of the two witnesses is also given as 1,260 days. What we are looking at here is the time span of the Great Tribulation, which is the second half of those 7 years of Daniel's 70th week. up ahead in the fall season of some future year, the highway of holiness awaits the passage of God's faithful witnesses. At some point in the future, they will come into the end time drama. Even now, the end time pilgrims are preparing to finish the race. That's God's people. The epic journey began when their father, Abraham, father of the faithful, they will finish the journey he began 4,000 years ago, Isaiah 35:8-10. So you see, and the great falling away is a precursor to the great apostasy, which I just read. Now, Jesus said that there's going to be a whole lot of false people come on the scene after he left the earth. And many of his apostles said the same thing. But I'm going to read some of these various apostates and false prophets. Now, in Judaism, Messiah arisen a divine appointed king such as David, Cyrus the Great, or Alexander the Great. Now, later, especially after the failure of the Hasmonean kingdom, 37 B.C., and the Jewish-Roman wars, A.D. 67-135, the figure of the Jewish Messiah was one who would deliver the Jews from oppression and usher in an Olam Haba world to come, or Messianic age. Now, here's one of these so-called messiahs. Simon of Perea, unknown, but he perished in 4 BCE, a former slave of Herod the Great, who rebelled and was killed by the Romans. So you see, this has been going on for a long time. Now, there was another Jesus of Nazareth, 5 BC to 30 CE, leader of a Jewish sect who was crucified by the Romans at the instigation of Jewish leaders. Jews who believed him to be the Messiah were the first Christians, who are also known as Jewish Christians, Muslim Christians, and Messianic Jews, believe him to be the real Messiah. That was Jesus. That was the true Son of the living God. I don't know why they would put him in here as Messiah claimant, but we know who Jesus Christ is. But then again, we have a Thrungus, 3 CE, a shepherd turned rebel leader, Menahem ben Judah, allegedly son of Judas of Galilee, partook in a revolt against Agrippa II before being slain by a rival zealot leader. Then you have Vespasian, see, 70, according to Josephus. Josephus, now if you want to find out some information on Josephus, he has written on the fall of Jerusalem and the Jewish-Roman Wars. I would recommend you read that because it's very informative on things that actually happened at that time. Now you have Simon Bar Kokhba. He died 135. He founded a short-lived Jewish state before being defeated in the Second Jewish-Roman War. Now these are people who were supposed to be messiahs, but they were also false apostles and false messiahs. And if you notice, all of them tried to do some things, and all of them died or were killed by the Romans. Yeah, so that's what we're talking about now. So we're going to, and we have some of the same things going on now. But the Antichrist or the beast or this person references the great falling away and in which no one knows who he is going to succeed in some things that these people could not. So that's basically where we are now. Well, I'm going to go into some other people here. Let me read, I go down to the 20th century, so some people in the 20th century. I'm going to read this particular person here. It's Gold Raps on 1951. It said, from Tel Aviv, claims to have supernatural healing powers and reportedly lived with 32 women who believe he was the Messiah. He also fathered 89 children who were all given names of variants of his own, but was arrested in 2010 on suspicions that he was abusing his wives and children. Now, that was the goal of that from 1951 to now. So you have people claiming to be Jesus Christ, the true and living Lord, but they are not. But that is a part of this great falling away in which you're witnessing and seeing right now. So, what should we do? What should we do? This is what we should do. We should repent. We should accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord. We should get in our Bible and study it, because when we study the Bible, we won't be deceived. The scripture tells us to study the word, to be approved, to rightly divide the word of God, so that you can't be lied to. See, because what the enemy, what these people are going to do, they use the word of God to trip people up and to deceive people, because many people don't know their word. Many people don't have the Lord in their lives, so therefore they gravitate to anything, because believe it or not, people, all of us are, we're spiritual beings. We have to have the Lord in our life. And we don't. And if we don't have the Lord in our life, we're going to gravitate to something else. But in that, we know that the word of God is true. His word is true. So we need to accept the Lord so we won't fall away from the Lord. We won't be a part of this great falling away.
9 seconds.
And we can accept the things of God and be rescued by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the end times. But we want to thank the Lord for all of you who listen on tonight, and we pray that you have some revelation and some things will reveal to you. And we pray that you come back next time. But right now, we're going to close out with prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we thank you for everyone that was listening on tonight. We thank you for giving us a platform to deliver your word. Father God, we ask that you touch, deliver, set free. We break all spirits of depression, of oppression, and we ask, Father God, that we break all bondages in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We ask that you touch the mind, that they would have revelation of your word. We ask, Father God, that you strengthen them, body, soul, and spirit, and that you heal them and set them free of all demonic oppression. We cast out all foul and unclean spirits. We cast them out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Be gone in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We look to see you all next time, and we thank everyone for listening on tonight. Be blessed, be blessed, be blessed.